Don't compromise your calling. Audiobook by Ashish Raichur. Introduction. God has a specific plan for each one of us. Most of us believe that and understand that God's specific plan is His call upon our lives. Further, we are aware that the fulfillment of God's plan for us is not automatic. In other words, we have a part to play in fulfilling God's call on our lives. We must cooperate with God so that His plans can be fulfilled in and through us as individuals. We need to realize that what matters is not the significance or magnitude of what God has called us to do, but the fact that we fulfill that call. Some of us may be called to do big things and others may be called to do small things. The big and small is only as it appears to the eyes of man. In God's eyes, the big and the small are equally important. He is eager that those called to do the big things and those called to do the small things fulfill their calling. The big and the small are interdependent and rely on each other. If one fails, the other is affected. The big evangelist who preaches to big crowds is dependent on the small unknown technician who sets up the sound system. What if the technician fails to do his part, or does it badly? However, all of us, whether we are called to do big or small things, will face challenges that can prevent us from fulfilling the call of God. Then, there is the devil who attempts to hinder us from pursuing God's call. Some of us who started following God's plan with zeal have somehow compromised and have not continued pursuing His plan. We have stopped somewhere along the way. We may have become distracted, and instead of pursuing the kingdom of God, we may be expending our energies in pursuing success, riches, or personal ambitions. Some of us may have become so caught up with the daily affairs of life that we have become negligent in responding to the heavenly calling. The word of the Lord that came to us, the dreams and visions the Holy Spirit gave us, have been laid away in a corner. They have either been forgotten or are being purposely ignored due to fear or unbelief. The purpose of this book is to stir us up. It is intended to caution us of some traps that we could get caught into, lest we fall short of fighting a good fight and finishing the race that has been set before us. Chapter 1. The Cares of This World. The Apostle Paul had many people who worked with him or who were associated with him in the ministry, and of whom he makes mention in his writings. There is one such person whom Paul wrote about in three different places. Paul refers to Demas as his fellow worker in his letter to Philemon, Philemon chapter 1, verse 24, and includes his name in sending greetings to the Colossians, Colossians chapter 4, verse 14. However, the next time Paul makes mention of Demas, which also happens to be the last time, he writes, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica," 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Imagine someone who had rubbed shoulders with Apostle Paul and had been his co-worker, being so deceived by the world that he would forsake the ministry and the apostle to go away and pursue his own plans in the world. All of us need to guard our hearts from the attractions and cares of this world. On the one hand, life can become so easy and so comfortable that we forget our need to pursue our heavenly calling. On the other hand, life can burden us with so many problems and worries that we become so busy trying to conquer the challenges and become a success that we neglect the call. Jesus said, "The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful," Mark chapter 4, verse 19. Don't let the world, its problems, or its pleasures rob you of the word that God has spoken to you for your life. Chapter 2. The Ties That Bind. While it is wonderful to have family and friends who love and care for us, sometimes it is these very ties that bind us and keep us from pursuing the call of God. How many young men and women, in order to please the desires of their father or mother, have compromised their heavenly calling and pursued things God never intended for them? The Gospel of Luke records the following, "Then he said to another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.' Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God.' And another also said, 'Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, No one, having put his hand to the plow, and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God, Luke chapter 9, verses 59-62. Fulfilling the call of God has to take precedence over fulfilling family responsibilities. This is not a license to be irresponsible and neglect our families. Rather, it is the order of priority that matters. Our commitment to the Lord and His kingdom comes before every earthly relationship. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple, Luke chapter 14, verse 26. Are there relationships or friendships that are hindering us from pursuing the call of God? Perhaps we started out right, but unaware, Jesus has been assigned a lower priority than some other earthly relationship. It's time to get things in order. We cannot forsake the call of God for the sake of earthly relationships. Chapter 3. A love that has grown cold. How strong is your passion for God today? Are you full of zeal for the house of the Lord and for the things of God? It was written of Jesus, Because zeal for your house has eaten me up, Psalm chapter 69, verse 9, and John chapter 2, verse 17. Is seeking God and serving Him a matter of convenience and not a priority? Do you pray only if you have the time, or do you make time to pray? Do you go to church only to ease your conscience by fulfilling a religious obligation, or do you do it because this is your delight? The psalmist expressed his heart when he said, One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple, Psalm chapter 27, verse 4. Or perhaps you say that you love the Lord, but the fire is not as strong as it used to be. A love that has grown cold is a love that will do what is convenient, not what He commands. If you do only what is convenient and not what He commands, you will never fulfill His call. If we are to fulfill God's call, we will have to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, Mark chapter 12, verse 30. We will have to stir ourselves up to seek Him with our whole heart. We will have to do our utmost to give Him our best. Chapter 4. The desire to be accepted. Not everyone is going to appreciate us, admire us, and praise us for following the call of God on our lives. If we live only to find acceptance in the eyes of people, maybe even those close to us, we will be disappointed. Then we will not be free to do what God wants us to do. Our priority should be to please our Heavenly Father. Jesus said, How can you believe, who receive honor from one another, and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? John chapter 5, verse 41 and verse 44. Too many people compromise the call of God on their lives because they put themselves in a position where they have to please people or organizations, even denominations. Therefore, when God calls them out to do something new, something different, something that others find strange, they are unable to step out and obey, for fear of being rejected. We are not advocating foolishness, where we do what we please even when godly people disapprove of it. What we are talking about is putting obedience to God above the praise of man. Where are you today? Are you able to do anything that God calls you to do without the need to find praise in the eyes of man? Chapter 5. Doing it man's way. Not only are we to hear from heaven regarding the purpose of our lives, but we also need God's direction on how to get there. We cannot fulfill a heavenly call with self-generated methods. Both the call and the way to fulfill that call must come from God. The Apostle Paul wrote, But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through His grace, to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, Galatians chapter 1, verses 15-16. The things we do to fulfill the call of God, are they ideas, methods, programs, and strategies that God has put in our hearts, or are they our own? Do they come from heaven or from the flesh? What are the motives behind them? Are we following the Spirit or are we imitating a man? We need to submit our ideas to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We must have zeal to serve the Lord and work for His kingdom, but this must be submitted to the leading of His Spirit. We need to go not because others are going where someone else told us to go. We need to go because God is sending us, and we need to go where He is sending us. The key to fulfilling the call of God is to follow His leading, each step of the way. Chapter 6. Too great a price. The call of God is not without a price. There are sacrifices to make, persecutions and hardships to be endured, risks to take, and more. Jesus talked about the price of following Him. He told us to count the cost. Luke chapter 14, verses 28-33. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest, after he has laid the foundation, and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he is cannot be my disciple. What is the cost of following Jesus? Everything. Jesus said we would need to give up everything. To give up means we no longer own it. God owns it and He can tell us to do whatever He wants done, with what we have. It is not what we have or how much we have. Have we given it all up to the Lord? Or are there things in our lives, possessions, plans, dreams, ambitions, relationships, habits, which if God told us to give up, give away, lay aside, do without, we will find difficult to do? Does God own our money, or are we the sole owners? Does God have the liberty to speak to us and tell us what He wants us to do with the money we have? Are we willing to sow seeds where He wants us to sow? It is not how much we give up, but what we don't give up that will determine whether or not we fulfill the call of God. Some have given up a lot, but there are those few little things, which they have not given up, which are hindering them from entering into the fullness of God's call upon their lives. The cost of giving up those few things is much more than the cost of giving up all the other things. But that is what the Lord is asking. Is the price too great to pay? Remember that the reward of having the approval of the Father on our lives is far greater. Will you pay the price to fulfill God's call on your life? Chapter 7. Fear, a deadly enemy. Many people compromise the call of God because of fear, fear of failure, fear of the future, fear of lack, and the fear of man. They don't step out and launch into the call of God because fear has bound them. Some might be thinking, God wants me to go and establish a church in a particular place, but what if I fail? What if the church never grows? The fear of failure prevents them from even stepping out. We need to keep in mind that it is God who causes us to triumph, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Therefore, we place our dependence on God. We also need to look at success and failure from God's perspective. Success is doing God's will and fulfilling what He has commanded us to do. It is not in numbers, not in accomplishments, and not in fame. Some are bound by fear of the future. They think, if I do what God wants me to do now, what will happen after that? They are afraid because they cannot see the future. God does not show us everything at once. He leads us a step at a time. God knows the end from the beginning. He knows what will come next. What we need to do is to trust Him and do what He wants us to do in the current season of life. It is important for us to plan, but it is more important to obey God. Sometimes, the word of the Lord and His directions will not fit into a plan that we can think of. But we must still obey. Some are bound by the fear of lack. They are afraid that their daily needs will not be met if they do what God is calling them to do. Jesus told us, Have faith in God, Mark chapter 11, verse 22. God has promised to provide. Let faith in His word cast out fear from your heart. Others are bound by the fear of man. They are intimidated by others, people who may persecute them, and sometimes even maybe by other ministers. The Bible says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe," Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. Trusting in God, you can step out against the fear that has been holding you back. Remember what the Lord told Joshua as he took charge of the leadership. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go," Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Be bold in the Lord. Let your faith in God set you free to obey His call. Chapter 8. The decision is yours. One of the wonderful things about our walk with God is that we can purpose in our hearts to seek the Lord and do so. We can repent and change. We can move on with God. In fact, we must do so. But, even when we have made wrong choices and compromised, and got into trouble, the Lord is able to bring us out. The psalmist said, "He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps," Psalm chapter 40, verse 2. The important thing for us to do is to truthfully examine our lives and receive God's strength to make necessary changes. Have you compromised your calling? Are you pursuing the call of God with all of your heart? What changes do you need to make today to fully align yourself with the call of God on your life? We have a choice. We can walk through life, saved, yet not pursuing the call of God with our whole heart. We will make it to heaven, yet there will be no fruit that we take with us into eternity. On the other hand, we can do whatever is necessary to seek and fulfill God's calling on our lives. We may appear as fools on the earth. However, when we get to heaven and our works are tried by fire, we will have fruit that will last through eternity. The Apostle Paul admonished Timothy, saying, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth," 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. It is going to require some effort on our part to become workers who have been approved by God and not be ashamed. Time and effort are necessary to prepare ourselves to fulfill the call of God. There will be sacrifices and challenges. But we must do our best. In this final hour, God needs men and women who will be 100% committed to His call. He needs people who will be completely sold out to Him, people who will not compromise. We want to encourage you with the words of the Apostle Paul. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. "Not that I have already attained, or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Keep pressing on to lay hold of that for which Jesus laid hold of you. Keep pressing on toward the finish line. Keep pressing on in your heavenly calling. It will require some effort, but it will be worth it. Don't compromise on the call of God on your life. This audiobook has been produced and distributed by All People's Church and World Outreach, Bangalore, India. For free books and audiobooks, please visit apcwo.org/books. For free teaching sermons, please visit apcwo.org/sermons. Unless otherwise indicated, all scripture references are from the New King James Version of the Holy Bible. Used with permission. All free resources from All People's Church may be shared and distributed freely.